Mycelium is the very foundation of life on this planet, not only for our species, but for so many species on this Earth that we love, and we can work with it to restore our planet. This is the essential message of the movie Fantastic Fungi by Louis Schwarzberg. Thank you for listening to the Forest Bathing Podcast. I'm your host, Pamela Wirth. In this episode, I'm speaking with Marcina Hale, who is the executive producer of the movie and also of Fantastic Fungi Day, which is a global event that brought together tens of thousands of people online. It was originally scheduled to screen in theaters worldwide, but because of the coronavirus and social distancing regulations, Marcina and her team brought everything to the virtual realm. The movie references the many striking similarities between the mycelium, which is the vast network of fungi underneath the ground, and the internet, because both span the earth and transmit vital information and nutrients wherever it's needed. This seems especially relevant during this time when, for many people, online communication has become the main source of social connection. Marcina Hale is also a master therapist and a dynamic facilitator who challenges and inspires others to live their lives more consciously and to take responsibility for their own creations. She has spent 20 years developing and presenting workshops for individual and communal change and transformation. Hi, Marcina. Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today.
Hi, Pamela. Great to be here.
And congratulations again to a beautiful movie and Fantastic Fungi Day.
It was amazing. We had over 101 countries. The Q&As attracted more than 13,000 connections, which means we estimate between 30 and 50,000 people, a worldwide connection. It was something we had to do as a response to the coronavirus because we were actually going to be going out in theaters. And when we heard about the virus and people being separated, we knew we had to be able to continue the message because the message is actually even more important now during this period of time. It was literally like mycelium. It really is biomimicry where we're looking at how mycelium works. And one of the ways that mycelium works is actually helping to send nutrition to different places that need it.
In the world of forest therapy, we actually talk a lot about the web of interbeing, and it is an expression for the interrelationship of organisms, of humans and trees and all the beings in this world. What is your personal relationship with this aspect of nature and this aspect of life?
Oh my gosh, we all, first of all, have that relationship. The question is how nurtured it is. And I was lucky to be raised in a small town and we were outside most of the time. I remember when I used to get upset and frustrated or sad, the place that I would go is to this apple tree. And it wasn't until I was much older that I realized that that was where I got my nourishment from. It actually soothed me when I was having difficulties. But there's a certain feeling that I'll never forget that it taught me, that it gave me. So I would say that's probably one of the biggest connections. Other than that was probably carrying worms in my pocket that I found that I used to like to play with.
I hear this often, that what brings us into this deep relationship with nature is an experience in childhood.
Definitely. And sometimes you don't really appreciate it till you're older. And I think there's a lot of kids that are missing out on those connections. Now, how many kids are actually encouraged to climb a tree nowadays? How many kids are encouraged to play with worms? But it's interesting what I find in my background as a therapist is that what you'll see is that many kids, when they're going through a really difficult time, they're taken to psychiatrists to try to get help for this and that, often, maybe too often, put on medications as well. And when it becomes very difficult to deal with whatever they're dealing with, we send them to wilderness programs. And so it's almost like we send them back to nature to be able to get them back, to kind of retrieve them or their sense of self and connection. It's interesting to think that we could actually begin with that and keep them connected rather than going through that separation process.
How do you see that? What would be a way how we can establish that and keep those connections going?
I think education is a big part of it, and also accessibility to different programs, normalizing what it means to actually be outside. And so, of course, forest bathing would be top of my list. because they offer the ability to go out and guide people. I'll give you an example. There was some young kids that were visiting when my kids were young, and we went to an IMAX movie. It was a nature film. And all of a sudden the film began, and there's scenes of waves crashing up, and there's scenes in the ocean. And one of the little girls turned to me and she goes, "This isn't a movie." And I looked back there and said, "Wait a minute, look at, watch the power of the wave as it comes in. Look at the droplets and the way that they create these patterns." And then she started to look at the film in a new way. And then during the film, because I was sitting next to her, she would tap me and she'd go, "Oh, look at that. Look at that." So you bring kids back into teaching them about wonder. Mm-hmm. The idea of being in wonder about life and how things work and insects and flowers. And that's one of the big things that I love about the work with moving art, Louis Schwartzberg, and then ultimately the film Fantastic Fungi. Louis' primary goal is to create and make the invisible visible. And in that is a sense of wonder, which ties very much into Reconsider, which is the organization that we're with. And we have a 5-step process, and the beginning of it is curiosity. So I think the question is, how do we build the curiosity back into our lives, beginning at a young age? When you have forest bathing, it's one thing to walk through a forest. And there's another thing, if there's a guide there that can help guide you into the depth of the experience that you can have in the forest.
And it's so deceptively simple sometimes, because we often create our invitations through the sensory body. So you might be invited to follow your hearing and just follow the sounds of the forest. And the things that we discover are just incredible. We would never notice them.
And the beauty is that can be taught really easily. The sense of peace and the sense of connection that it gives to a person lasts a lifetime. Because once you know that that exists, you cannot not know.
Yes, it becomes a part of us. It becomes embodied knowledge. I'm curious to hear more about the 5-step process that you described earlier.
So with Reconsider, we have 5 different steps or movements, which is curiosity, which is understanding that everything makes sense, for example, that there's nothing in this reality that exists without an energy behind it. How does this make sense? And the curiosity of the fact that we're even alive. I remember one time there was a challenge that I had with one of my sons, and I took him down to the beach, and it was cold. It was November, and I put a blanket out there and just laid underneath the stars with him, and it shifted the whole conversation because I said, you know what? You know how long those stars have been alive? So whatever we're dealing with is only a small thing. So it puts things in perspective. And then the second part is awareness. It's actually seeing patterns and how what we do affects what happens to us, and that our involvement in life matters. Everything we do matters. The way that we treat another person, the way we treat ourselves, the way we treat nature, the things that we decide to buy or the things that we decide to say. Awareness around your sensitivity to feeling, to the power of words, to the connection with emotions. And then we move into owning your creation, understanding that the world happens and we don't control everything that happens to us, but we are 100% responsible for how we choose to show up to it. And so no matter what our world is going through or what we're dealing with in our own personal lives, that there is a power that we have to decide how I choose to relate to it. And with that, then comes the next step, which is a reimagining. Because if I don't like the current thing that's happening right now, can I imagine what I would want? To reimagine is the ability to be creative. We can learn to reimagine both our ability to create and our ability to dream. And then it comes to the next phase, which is manifesting. Understanding what manifestation is, understanding that you cannot not create, because as soon as you are alive, you start creating within ourselves, but also collaboratively. Understanding that I can inspire you in the manifestation and you can inspire me. So what do we want to create collectively? So that's the basis of the 5 movements. And in that, you come to a relationship to life that many people find very freeing, because they understand that they're not victims of what's happening, but actually co-creators.
Actively participating in the process of generating life.
Exactly.
The question that comes up for me listening to you is, what's your greatest hope, your biggest dream for this massive project, Fantastic Fungi Day, sharing the message of the mycelium with thousands and thousands of people?
It's funny, because what Reconsider, what we always talk about, is that all of the issues that we're facing in the world come from the same place, which is our disconnect. And from ourselves, from each other, from the natural world, but literally from the experience of life itself. And what I would really love to see is the awe and wonder and remembering the beauty of the gift of life that we've been given, and having people start freeing themselves from their stories and narratives that stop them from creating what they would like to live in, and for them to start working together collaboratively and weaving in through one another and inspiring one another and really seeing what's possible. I really truly believe that what we are doing is creating far below what is possible. But I also know that it's got to start with the individual. I take responsibility every day for the energy I'm putting out in the world and for any place where I'm getting stuck. The question is, how fast can I free myself? And how fast can I help other people free themselves from where they're stuck? And then how do we create together? So I would say just the freedom to understand creation and to start co-creating together in a way that is just so fun. It's not trying to be happy. It's meeting every emotion with an honoring.
What do you do? Is there something that you can share with our listeners that we can learn from this and that we can bring into our lives?
I would say a couple things. First of all, is I always love to not take myself too seriously. And like I said, I've always used the stars as a way of putting everything in perspective. So it's like feeling how insignificant and significant I am at the same time. And being able to appreciate my life and yet not take it so seriously. I also feel like during this period of time, we have a lot of depression. I was raised in a family where there was depression. And there was a period of time where I was reading an article from National Geographic about the use of ayahuasca. And I was interested in learning more about it. And my background is a therapist. And so as I looked more into it, I ended up studying some of that work. And what's interesting about psychedelics and the work that's being done there is allowing people to be able to turn off the default mode network and allow new ways of thinking and connecting to come in. Many of them feel a reconnection to nature. And so I would say that that work and the ability to get it destigmatized and approved throughout our country and throughout the world, I think is very important during this period of time as well, because I've seen how it's been able to help people. And I would say literally it saved people's lives.
Is there a personal, a simple practice that people could do right now, wherever they are, to experience the freedom that you're speaking of? I'm wondering if you have a favorite way that works for you that you'd like to share with our listeners.
One of the first things that I connect with is gratitude. And for me, gratitude is like a process. Because it's one thing to be grateful for something, but it's different to actually feel gratitude. And I think about this period of time where people are struggling so much. How if we stop and look around, we have so much at the same time. And even when people are struggling with loss on all kinds of levels, the feeling of being grateful for our lives and for the time that we have together, for the experiences that we have, it's funny because it can bring a sadness at the same time as the opening. So again, sometimes people, they look for happiness. They're looking for something to make them feel better. But sometimes you can feel better in going into the sadness and going into the gratitude and the appreciation, which can really just open you up to this moment in time is what we have. How do I want to spend it? So consciously creating during that period of time. I'm very lucky because one of my daughters is here. She came over from New York as things became difficult and she became unemployed, and she's here and we get to spend time together. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've had her quarantined because she's coming from LA. So we play the games that we can't touch each other, but we can laugh and we're playing and I can hear her singing right now upstairs. So there's the connections like that, the simplicity of life and going back to that, which I find people struggle with a lot. And so to play with that right now and to move into that in this period of time where we have the time to do that, I think is very powerful to do.
I'm so grateful for our connection right now and just want to tell this tiny story. Before our call, I was taking a walk just to clear my head and get ready just here in my neighborhood up and down the block. And what came to me was gratitude and just feeling like, well, this is really the way to connect right now, is to be grateful and to appreciate my life and everything, the ground I'm walking on, the shoes I'm wearing, that tree over there, and looking forward to our conversation. So I just love that you spoke to that right now. And it confirms to me the interconnectedness that just works in magical and invisible ways. And it's there all the time.
It is. And it's crazy beautiful. And thank you for being an example of it.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
If you would like to learn more about Marcina Hale's work, you can visit her website at reconsider.org. Marcina will also be moderating a discussion with female psychedelic leaders on the upcoming Fungi Day event on April 21st. These days, many forest therapy guides are bringing their work online and are offering virtual forest bathing. While this kind of sounds like an oxymoron, many people are actually enjoying these sessions very much as ways to mindfully engage with their senses and surroundings and also the company of other people. For a current schedule of these sessions, you can check on our website, forestbathinginternational.org.